What is up, everybody? On behalf of everyone here at Digital 410 Media, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. And we're doing it again. We're doing a back-to-back Patreon giveaway. So if you have yet to decide to sign up for Patreon, please head over to patreon.com/D410. Sign up for the December member prize giveaway. This month, we are thrilled to feature the beautiful exclusive print from Military Aerospace Art, showcasing the incredible bravery of First Lieutenant Huey Lamb Jr. The stunning piece captures a historic mission on March 19th, 1945, with Lieutenant Lamb piloting his P-51 Mustang, the Etta Jean II. Intercepting and destroying a low-flying Ardo 234 jet. Don't miss your chance to own the slice of World War II aviation history that is autographed by Huey Lamb Jr. Thank you guys so much for your continued support through 2024. We're looking forward to 2025. Happy Thanksgiving, and we love you all.
Reveal the secret.
Y'all ready?
The snack wrap will be back in 2025. This is, has a cult following. I get so many emails into my inbox about this product. It will be back in 2025.
Following for the snack wrap.
It does. It really does.
Okay, and it's coming back when?
I'm not going to tell you exactly when in 2025 for competitive reasons.
Only if it's the Big Mac snack wrap.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in this morning, Joey Ledger.
I was voting for the
Big Mac snack wrap. What's up, what's up, what's up, OG5? We are back. We're cold, but we're still alive, unlike some people in New York City. I'm sorry, a little too soon. Speaking of New York City, have you guys seen the photos of the quote-unquote unmasked gunman?
I have not.
No.
All I'm about to say is the wrong guy's about to get fucking arrested. Do yourself a favor.
Really?
Pull up Google on your computer right now. Go to Google image search and just type in NY shooter. NY space shooter. And if you get the same Google search I do, they have the photo of the alleged shooter unmasked. And he has on a green jacket with dual breast pockets and a backpack with black straps. And then next to it is the picture of the believed suspect with the mask up, who has on a green jacket with no breast pockets with a gray backpack with gray straps. It's not the same fucking guy.
Oh, no.
Unless he changed jackets and backpacks between the time he got his picture taken standing in line somewhere. I mean, you see it, right? It's clearly not the same jacket, not the same backpack. So unless he somehow put on a like back jacket and a similar backpack, you know, I'm going to change my disguise, but we're not going to go that far out. I mean, clearly it's not the same fucking guy.
Somebody's fixing to have a bad day.
Yep, somebody's about to get themselves a case of, have you seen that TV show, The Madness?
Yeah.
Have you watched The Madness yet there, Morgan?
No, I have not.
I know you're holed up in a hiney hole and you're probably looking for shit to do. Go on Netflix. Now, I have to warn y'all, for the first like half of the series, you got to prepare yourself for some lazy writing and some bad bullshit. But I think halfway through the series...
So it's like every other TV show.
Well, I think halfway through the series, they decided some other writers came in and said, hey, we need to equalize the equilibrium to this. Without any spoiler alerts... there's a fella who gets accused and set up for killing a white nationalist. But the things that bother me is like in the episode where he feels threatened by his family. And so he pulls out the pistol that somehow he walked into a high-end corporate style gun shop. They didn't film like some back alley New York pawn shop with some shady fucking white dude. No, this looks like ammunition out of Grand Theft Auto and has some Armenian guy there. This is like a top tier gun shop with a Browning automatic rifle on the fucking wall amongst other high quality firearms. And somehow he buys a pistol and only needs a background check and walks out with it the same day. No concealed carrying permit, never earned a gun a day in his life. Somehow walks out with a fucking M&P same day. But anyhow, when his family
feels... Must have been the gun show loophole.
Well, his family feels threatened, and so he you know, he pops four shots off in the air. And then when his sister-in-law gets angry at him for quote-unquote shooting up the neighborhood, and he's going to get in trouble with the police, he cites the castle doctrine, says that he's free and clear because of the... I don't care what state you live in, what doctrine you cite, warning shots are a fucking illegal. For those of you in the back row, oh, Morgan, why are warning shots illegal?
I'm not 100% sure what the exact
what
definition
goes up
is,
must come down.
Well, yeah.
You absolutely are personally responsible for every round that leaves the barrel of your gun. And if you're shooting your gun in the air like it's fucking Mexico in 1796 and it's fucking New Year's Eve, those rounds are going to come down and possibly embed in someone's fucking head. That is why you go to jail for firing warning shots. Because I don't care what state, what you can live in the most conservative red state with open carry laws. You can only pull out your gun if you're feeling threatened. And by golly, if you fire off a shot, it better be at the person who's threatening your life. You can't brandish a firearm and wave around and say, leave me be, and then they leave you be. No, that's brandishing a firearm. You're only supposed to pull it as if your life is in danger. And if you have time to wave it in the air like you just don't care and shoot it in the air, you're not, your life is not threatened. You're just feeling a little concerned about maybe a broken nose or perceived violence. So, no, the Castle Doctor is not going to prevent you from getting arrested for popping four fucking warning shots in the air in a community.
Yeah.
Well, ammo's expensive. Four warning shots is crazy.
And this guy works for a high-end left-leaning media organization, and they claim he's just a consultant, but somehow he has like this town home in New York. It probably runs about $10,000 a month. So I think he can order. I think he can afford some 45 rounds or 9mm at $2 a pop. I don't think he's that worried for cash in this. Oh, now I'm just putting this out there. I know I'm just like a little nobody podcast host and YouTuber. I dress like this. If I'm on the newspaper and TV for suspected chopping up a body and people are used to me looking like this, guess how the fuck I'm not dressing when I'm walking around in public? Like this. My ass is shaving. I'm going to start wearing Tommy Hilfiger, maybe some Abercrombie and Fitch, maybe a fucking tuxedo. No, homeboy who's used to be seen wearing fucking high-end $5,000 three-piece suits and sport jackets while on the lam until finally he gets fucking beat up and put in jail, he's still walking around in his $1,200 fucking Armani jacket and shoes, and heaven forbid he takes a razor to his face. When he does finally dress up, he looks like fucking Method Man. It's like, dude, I would shave. I would shave. I would wear like a golf shirt. Maybe tuck it, you know, I would completely, no, not on this show, but it turned out to be a pretty decent show. As it goes by, they kind of start leveling the playing field and some of the ridiculous, like, hey, we're going to show the crazy white people, so let's show some crazy black people in there too. So they kind of level the playing field as the show goes on. But the first few episodes, you're like, I know what state the writer of this show lived in. But yeah, so much like the gentleman in that show, whoever the poor son of a bitch is in photo number 3 on the Google image search where he looks like he's just chilling in line at the Starbucks coffee, dude, you're about to catch a rap.
Major rap.
And people are upset in New York. They're not upset that this guy died. They're upset that people in power have considered maybe shutting down bridges like this is a fucking movie to prevent him from leaving the island. And as people are saying, cops and civilians get shot every fucking weekend in New York. When's the last time they've shut down a bridge to keep the person, you know, now when it's a CEO and a multi-billionaire, now you guys are wanting to shut down the bridge and quarantine the island until you find the shooter like it's some fucking movie from 1990. But every weekend, 30 people are getting shot in this city. No one's shutting down shit.
Well, you know what they ought to do is they ought to shut down the island like they did in Escape from LA.
No, the first one. Yeah.
Blow the bridges and leave everybody there to fend for themselves.
Wasn't it during the Boston bombings that they shut down that whole fucking city for like 3 days to find those fucking guys until they found them in that boat?
Did you guys hear
They found the one kid in the boat, I think.
You heard about the shell casings, though, right? We're just trying to get caught up here with everybody.
Yeah, something
was etched on him. 9mm rounds laying on the ground.
Yeah, the one that he etched the words in.
I didn't hear about that. I just saw on CBS Evening News they were showing pictures talking about the shell casings laying all over in there.
So how this went from being a suspected assassination attempt to a confirmed assassination attempt? They found 3 shell casings on the ground, and much like out of a fucking movie, you know, if we're going to the shooter etched deny in one shell casing, defend and deposed, which apparently is kind of like the corporate healthcare's kind of slogans on how the three steps to denying someone's health insurance claim is deny, defend, and depose, i.e. depose means take them to court. And so basically this is, yeah, this isn't, hey, you know, this guy fucked my wife, I'm killing him, or this guy, you know, didn't pay my dog walking fees. No, this guy, clearly the shooter probably lost somebody to cancer or had some sort of medical issue and was clearly making a statement and obviously knew he was going to shoot him at least three fucking times.
Well, and the possibility too that, you know, he had some kind of a medical issue and he knew,
yeah,
they denied me, I can't afford the procedure, it's going to kill me.
And if they catch me, who fucking cares?
Right, I'm taking this fucking clown out.
Oh, dude, I just heard. Oh.
Ooh. I think Morgan wanted to say something there.
Go ahead, Morgan, because something just hit me out.
Well, you know, I lost my dad to esophageal cancer 18 years ago because his HMO wouldn't pay for an endoscopy. And, you know, my dad was a really laid back dude. And he was just like, oh, okay, if they're not going to pay for it, obviously I don't need it. And, you know, they could have saved his life if they would have paid for like a $300 or $400 test.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand. I mean, if this guy lost somebody, you know, I mean, not to the point of going and whacking the guy, but I understand why it could piss you off real fucking bad.
To answer that, I think this guy was involved in some other like shady shit and lawsuits. He was by no means a good guy. The crazy thing is, want to feel old, Morgan?
I already do, but lay it on me.
You want to know how we're getting older? When this guy, the evil motherfucker who got shot, graduated the same year as my brother, we're now the same age as the bad guys. He graduated high school in 1993. If you look at the photo of the guy who got shot, he's like fucking 51. So it's insane to think, wow, somebody my age is actually smart enough and successful enough to be a CEO of a fucking multi-billion-dollar healthcare system.
Well, that's funny. That gives me a side note too. But keeping on with the medical theme here for a second,
yeah. So I just went to the doctor.
I just went to the doctor for my knee, and I went through the whole rigmarole with him, and at the end of it, he was like, all right, well, the bone looks good. It seems like you've got plenty of spacing and stuff between the bones and the kneecap and all that stuff. He said one side was a little bit a skosh, you know, too close, but it is what it is. And he said, I'm going to recommend that you get an MRI, and I'm going to recommend that you do physical therapy. Okay. He said, well, see what you can do about the MRI, because some insurance companies will not cover an MRI unless you do physical therapy first. But the MRI is going to show if there's any more damage to the ligaments and you know, all the stuff that the x-rays can't find and can't see. So that doesn't make any sense to me. Why?
Why
wouldn't you want to know as soon as possible?
Yeah, two things. One, physical therapy on a knee is super expensive. When Carrie blew her knee out, the physical therapist wanted to see her three times a week at $80 a fucking visit.
Yeah.
And her insurance wouldn't cover any of it until after we spent $400 out of pocket. And right. Two, you might want to find a new doctor, because I just Googled it. A skosh, often spelled S-K-O-S-H, is not an official unit of measurement, as it is a slang term meaning for a very small amount, essentially an imprecise, informal way to describe a tiny quality. There is no set standard for how much a, quote, skosh is, making the non-standard unit of measurement. So if your doctor's telling you your knee's off a skosh, you might want to go see a better doctor. But no, the thought I had real quick, in order for this to be relevant, you got to ask yourself, what's worse, life in prison or dying at a young age? Because if the poor guy that they're showing as the shooter isn't the shooter, I'm going to say he's like 35. But let's say in our Hollywood movie that we're talking about here, he decides life in prison is better than death.
Sure.
We're at the tail end of 2024. What did we learn in 2023 and 2024 if you live in California, New York, Chicago? That if you're in prison and you want to get a sex change, who has to pay for it?
taxpayers.
So if you're this guy and we're going with what if you're this guy and we're going with the hypothesis that maybe he has a disease that he can't afford his insurance claim, but maybe there's a cure. If they can pay for chopping off cocks, maybe they can pay to replace my kidney. Just a thought. Maybe he did this. If I don't go to jail, I'm going to die.
So he can get three hots in a cot.
And free surgery. or fuck it, I got terminal disease. I'm going to be dead in fucking 3 months. Who cares if they catch me? It could be one of the two.
It's interesting. Because you were saying that we are now the age, well, you guys are now the age that you're, you know, the bad guy for the bad guys. Have you guys seen Home Alone?
Yeah.
That's pretty universal. Everybody's probably seen that movie at one point or another in their life. I am the same age that, what's his name? Not Harry, but the other one.
Joe Marv Pesci?
Was when that movie was being filmed.
I got one worse than that.
That's an interesting perspective for me because as I'm continuing to grow up and push further into adulthood and whatnot, I don't feel like an adult.
Yeah, you're going to have those moments where you watch TV.
Isn't that such a weird thing? Because when you were younger and you looked at an adult, you thought, wow, that's an adult. That's a man right there. And then as you're growing up, you're like, I am not that fucking guy.
Well, now you understand why for the last 4 years I've been saying the older I get, the younger old gets. Right. And two, how old are you now? 35?
32.
32?
Yeah, he was 32, watch this, 33 Morgan. When they filmed that movie.
Do me a favor. How old's your wife?
31.
Watch this, Morgan. Do me a favor. This weekend when you and your wife are cuddling and you're feeling all young and perky, turn on a little series called Roseanne. Roseanne and Dan Connor were 32 on that fucking show, and even today they look 47. So just
wow.
Okay. I mean, we already understand. So, we already understand that the cast and crew of fucking Cocoon was 55, but fucking Dan and Roseanne were 32, and Carol O'Connor on fucking Archie Bunker, All in the Family, was fucking 42. Oh, I'm older than Archie Bunker.
So check this out. You've seen Lethal Weapon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long time, but I've seen it.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover.
Yeah,
Danny Glover's walking around the entire movie talking
I'm
too old for this shit.
I'm too old.
He was 41 years old.
When's the
41?
12 years younger than I am.
When's the last time you actually seen it?
Lethal Weapon?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
I started watching it.
I was probably a kid when I saw it.
About 3 or 4 months ago, maybe a year ago, time's been moving fast since 2020, but somewhere in the last 4 years, I started watching it again. Holy fuck. Boy, did I not realize that that movie was written during the original assault rifle ban. That movie was an anti-gun fucking vehicle for politics. You go back and watch it, and the whole through line in that is the reason why citizens should not have assault rifles. It's an anti-gun movie. The whole fucking thing is. It's insane that an action-packed gun movie has a through line written by a bunch of liberals in the 80s about why people shouldn't have guns. I mean, it's almost – I think they actually come out and say this is why assault rifles should be banned.
I think my favorite scene of that entire series – I don't remember which one it was, but was the toilet scene.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Was it Lethal Weapon
2? Yeah, because the reason his toilet is getting replaced is because his house is blown up in part one. Because in part two, that's when the nail gun scene, which anybody who's ever picked up a nail gun knows it has the fucking push safety on it. And you can't just lift it up and shoot fucking 10-penny nails across a goddamn construction site. Not saying it can't be altered with a little bit of duct tape. I'm just saying by stock.
If I remember that scene correctly, that was like the best. I think was it Mel Gibson was like sitting. Who was on the toilet? Was it Danny Glover?
It was Danny Glover.
Danny Glover's on the toilet, and I think Mel was in the bathroom, like holding his hands with him or some shit.
Yeah, and they did like this rock thing where they rolled into the world's strongest fucking bathtub.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a claw bathtub. That is foreseeable. If that was an old school cast iron claw bathtub, that's fucking. No, this is your basic ass 1990s, 2.5 foot deep apartment grade fucking fiberglass bathtub that's mounted in the wall. They couldn't even bother to put in a fucking claw tub from the 1830s.
Tub shower combo.
Yeah. As a plumber, Mike knows that thing wouldn't even handle a fucking beer mug dropped onto it from 4 feet above. Yeah,
well, I used to deliver those things. You can't successfully put them on a truck and take them off a truck without breaking them.
In one way or shape, in one shape, whatever the fuck the saying is, one way or another, yeah, you're right.
Let me ask you this, because I used to see a van, the bathtub
down by the river.
Yeah, the bathtub line, the bathtub
rebath,
Where they don't remove the entire bathtub, they basically put a liner. Put a liner
over top of it.
How much depth are you losing? Because, yeah, it may only be a quarter inch, but that's a quarter inch all the way around. The circumference of your tub, it probably lost like three. Like, if that was a pair of pants, you'd gone from like a 34 down to 32.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they do stuff. I know there are molds and stuff like that where they'll take like a sheet of fucking whatever and heat it up and it will actually conform to the tub. But I don't know if they put like some kind of, you know, plastic liner in there, or if they actually mold it down in there, or what. But
I'm sure.
I mean, either way, you're still losing a little bit. I mean, you know, whether it's a quarter inch of thickness, you know, and then you know,
I bet it's not even that much. I bet they pull the drain out and put a vinyl, you know, like a vinyl sheet in there, like you said, heat it up, and it just molds to the tub, and they put a new drain in it. And you're probably losing an eighth of an inch all the way around it.
Which, by the way, I gave the bag, the quote unquote bad guy, 3 years older. He was only 50.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
I thought there might have been some hope for me yet.
Yeah. I had a little room to grow.
No, you guys are fucked.
Yeah. I was going to make a shirt that says, "Born for greatness, destined for mediocrity." I think I've aged past potential for greatness. I'm just hanging it. I'm just holding on to mediocrity at this point.
I don't even know if I'm going to get to mediocrity at this point. I am striving for it.
No. You just got to keep L-I-V-I-N living, buddy.
L-I-V-I-N.
All right.
So I want to congratulate Mike. The video is not up yet. I'm still editing it because the fucking file format was so big I had to dump, because I have my entire Thanksgiving weekend of fishing. It was 4 days. I spent I haven't done the full math, but roughly between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I spent about 18 hours on my kayak. Yeah. And after I deleted all the dead footage and just copying the good footage to my laptop, I had to do it in three stages where I edited a single video, delete all the original content, dump the second batch over, until I found out that Filmora, when you render the video during editing to make it easier to editable, that rendering saved in a file. I had like 89 gigs worth of rendering files. So I found the rendering folder and cleared that out and opened up like 100 gigs worth of hard drive space on my laptop.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because apparently the render file doesn't get deleted after you export your video. So yeah, I had like, I think 200 gigs worth of data being used from my render from old videos. But Mike and I, on day four of my adventures, on Sunday, we went out the what we're going to start calling Saltwater Sundays. And we found a little hidey hole. And this hidey hole, even at high tide, I'm going to claim that it's only accessible by kayak, because to get to it, we had to butt scooch through about 8 inches of water during
less than that in some spots. I mean, we were only fucking, I mean, my kayak was touching ground.
I was literally doing the I got worms butts, you know, dog butt scoot across the fucking sandbar, and then it got deep again. How many snook did you catch? Like 12?
I'm going to say a good dozen.
You know, you caught a lot of fish when you lost count. So
I think I overall that day, I think I caught anywhere from 20 to 25 fish.
Including the sheep's head, the red snapper.
All the snapper, the sheep's head, and all the snook. Probably 25 fish, yeah.
But Mike, of course, Morgan gets up during your fish storing.
Of course he does.
I'm listening.
He don't care.
I'm here. I'm just showing everybody my ass now that I'm out here in Mississippi.
Mike caught a 2.5-pound snook on his kayak.
Yep.
Oh, man.
How
22 inches.
22 inches. The only reason we know is because Cass King recently sent me their new lip lock scale combo with a built-in ruler and tape measure. And the only reason he landed it, the only reason he landed is because I learned my lesson from fucking Friday morning when I caught probably a 3-pound peacock bass, and I got off because my net was in Carrie's boat. So I put the net in my boat, and he's trying to get this fucker up on his boat without losing it, and I whip out the net like fucking Chuck Norris and help him land that son of a bitch.
Well, between the net and the fucking lip locks, that's the one thing that saved my ass with that fish, because if I'd have had my thumb in his mouth, he would have came off. He would have jerked himself off.
Oh, really? Hey, now.
Yes.
That's a whole different kind of video.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Definitely get demonetized on YouTube for putting that one up.
You know.
But
he might
do okay if you put it on, like, OnlyFans or something.
Well, that's how I lost a peacock is... ever since my 8-pound bass,
jerked off your boat.
Yeah, he jerked himself off. Ever since my 8-pound bass, if you guys watch my videos consistently, you'll see on a largemouth, you can just take your lip locks and pull them out of the water because, you know, once they leave the water and they lose their buoyancy, then their lips rip because of the weight and the hook. And so I'm always lip locking them because I don't have the aforementioned net. And Johnny, the guy who showed me where all these peacocks are, he caught a 2-pounder one day and he had a net. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I usually just lip lock. And he's like, no, you can't lip lock a peacock because their mouths aren't that big. He's like, I've lost so many peacock. Well, fast forward to me, no net. I'm trying to lip lock to some bitch. And he pulls out of the water and shakes off. So, sadly, the video for that one is my rear camera stopped working. In my front camera, you can see the head. But it was so fucking foggy that morning. My front camera had a layer of dew over it. So it looks like you're looking at a video playing on a bathroom shower after you just got out, so it's very fuzzy. But yes, congratulations to Mike. He caught many damn fish he forgot. I caught a sheep's head because I was trolling one line while throwing the other, and I don't know how long that poor son of a bitch was back here. But yeah,
I don't think it was on that long, to be honest with you, because I saw you because you came around in front of me, and I was like, oh, your line's in the water, and you're like, yeah, I'm just kind of letting.
I know, but I had drugged that line all the way down and then through the flats and back up.
But I'm not sure. I don't remember it bending the way that it was.
So I caught
first noticed it.
I caught a little baby sheep's head on that, and then I caught a decent little redfish.
Yeah, decent. Well, I would say it was probably 10, 12 inches long.
And then I landed two baby snook, and I lost a snook.
Yeah,
but from the entire weekend, I probably caught about 25 dinks all weekend. Never caught anything over a fucking pound and a half.
I got.
Three days, 18 hours, about 25 dinks, salt water and fresh.
I've got one picture for every snook that I actually, I don't. I have one picture for every snook that I caught up until like the very end when I caught like the last probably two or three. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pictures that I took. So yeah, anywhere from... you know, 10 to 12.
Well, at a certain point, you're catching so many of them, you weren't even taking photos after a certain point. You're like,
no. Oh. I mean, I was trying to just throw them. I was throwing them on top of the bait bucket, taking a picture real quick, and just letting them go. I mean, they were hammering my freaking
line. I posted that video on TikTok and Facebook of your fish getting consumed down to the depths. That video does not do the sound justice. It sounded like somebody about 280 pounds did a fucking 8-foot cannonball off that dock behind us. It was like
I saw the one guy commented on it, and he was like, "That was a snook."
That was
it's very well possible. I mean, them bucket mouths. I mean, when they hammer something on the surface, they fucking hammer it.
Yeah. But, that was Johnny who said that the master of the peacock.
Yeah. And I mean,
it was
so
louder than shit.
So, I mean, if a grouper decides to come up and suck something down, it'll make a noise like that, too. Because I don't remember if it was like a you know, like a good suck, or if it was like just a splash. So
it was fucking loud.
But I mean, it was whatever it was. It was big.
And the reason, and you'll see in the full length video, the reason I made reference to the jumpy fish is like 4 minutes before that, we're watching this dog. This dog was just sitting on the dock, and these mullets were just jumping in this little school. They're jumping all over the place. Yeah. And so that's why I made reference to the jumpy fish, because I was like, it was either one of those jumpy fish or something just killed your fucking fish.
Well, the snapper that I had, the mangrove, was, I don't know, about the size of my hand maybe, so
yeah.
6-7 inches long.
Yeah.
8 at the very, very most. And he swallowed the hook. So I mean, I had to, you know, yoke the fucking hook out of him, and I knew he wasn't gonna likely survive, so it was just gonna be food for something else anyway. So I threw him in there, and what was it, 30 seconds later, maybe, mm-hmm. we're coming around, and all of a sudden it just went, and you know, whatever the fuck it was, I mean, it was big for sure.
So. Just to confirm, we don't have debtor's prison, right?
What?
Debtor's prison? That was a thing back in the day, where like the
18th. Debtors? No, but sometimes I think we should.
Well, I mean, I know that? You'll go for not paying a debt.
You
back
used to go to jail, oh, like debt, back in debt. The debtors. Yeah, debtors prison.
Before okay. the United States was founded, that's one of the things we made sure of, because the Queen, oh, you owe us 50 pounds for a tea. We'll throw you in prison. So I think we don't have debtor's prison unless you don't pay taxes. No. Then we have debtor's prison.
But yeah, that's for sure.
That's like tax evasion shit, isn't it?
And with AI, this probably will not be an issue for young future inspiring web hosts and podcasters and YouTubers. But if you guys can do me a favor, go to YouTube.com and look up D410 Media and watch my videos, because I might need the money. And go to d-410.com or whatsinyourhead.com and sign up for Patreon, because like 3 years ago when Hurricane Ian came and fucked up my dad's house, and I made a YouTube video, and then on D-410 I just Google searched a fucking video of Sanibel, like Fort Myers, getting fucked up, and I put it on the website, and then I got a letter from one of these, like, not Getty Images, but a douchebag just as bad, saying, hey, dickhead, take my photo off your website, which I did. No one saw it anyhow. Took it off the website, went about, got another email, physical letter. We asked you to cease and desist, and you owe us $400.
What?
Well, fuck you. I took the photo off my website and take the $400 and shove it up your ass. I just got paperwork for a law firm. Now they're telling me I owe them $1,200 to take me to court. For using someone's fucking drone footage still shot. Some photographers claiming copyright infringement because I used their photo on my website. And I'm thinking, A, this won't be a thing in the future because everybody's going to be using AI-generated photos.
Yeah.
B, I worked for Stan Haney for fucking 6 years. One thing I learned by having a lawyer in there, Florida doesn't garnish wages. So you can take me to court all you want. You're not getting $1,200. But it would be kind of a nice news story if I actually went to jail for 3 days. I mean, what's time served on $1,200? Like a fucking 8-hour shift? Could you imagine if I went to jail for 8 hours for using someone's fucking photo on a website that no one's 40 seen?
40 hours of community service.
So yeah, so now they're threatening. We sent you paperwork.
When did they send you that?
I found it on my desk the day after Thanksgiving. And now I'm getting threatening emails talking about, if I don't pay it, I don't have to pay the legal fees. I'm like, fuck you. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's... Okay, so you
put a lien
on
my house for $1,200. I've already refunded.
Photo. They told you to fucking take it down.
I did.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
The end of it.
It's a money
grab. You didn't
grab.
Make any money off of it.
It's a money. Yeah, trust me. I can produce the receipts, and no one saw that fucking photo on my website, because I think the clicks for the 2 weeks it was up was probably like 20 people. So fine, I'll break you off 35 cents. But yeah, the audacity. And I love the fact that the whole backbone of Getty Images and groups like this is going to just dry up. Because if you go on whatsyourhead.com, you'll see all our thumbnails now are just fucking AI-generated photos. I'm not fucking around. You know, and, you know, people used to bust my balls and work to Stan Haney. My brother in particular, you know, you must be in love with yourself. How come you always just post some photos of yourself? It's called copyright infringement, motherfucker. You can post pictures of someone's photo on your personal Facebook page, but as soon as it becomes a public profile, yeah, I can't take a picture. I can't, that fucking meme that you like to share, if I were to share that on any of our What's in Your Heads or any of the public profiles, we could get sued for not paying for the right to the, yeah. That's why Stan and Hanny can no longer play all the great fucking, remember when Stan, Hanny and Tommy were singing It's Tricky to Rock a Rhyme? Or when Hanny sung mm-hmm. his version of Every Rose Has a Thorn, they're not yeah. allowed to play that shit on the show no more because of copyright infringement. These people are so money hungry. The days of spoofing a song or, you know, and look, I get it. You're a photographer. You want to, motherfucker, I ain't Barstool Sports. Fucking D-410. Nobody saw your fucking photo on my page. Nobody.
So does that mean that we're not ever going to hear Stan again sing I Kissed a Girl and
no,
I Like
you'll
It?
Never hear it again. You'll never hear it again. Not even in best ups. They can't
that's,
play it.
That's,
unless,
that's in the archives for personal use these days.
Yeah, unless K-Rock wants to pay the licensing, and they won't. You know why? I don't know if they still do. But
yeah,
for
it's
a
like
while
fucking 10 grand sometimes like for a fucking license.
For
a
while
song.
When you used to stream online and we would play music on the radio yeah. The yeah. songs on the internet were pre-1962 because there's no copyright for songs recorded pre-1962, so they could stream that shit for free on yeah. the internet. You know why a lot of radio stations play the same songs over and over again? A lot of old songs? Because some old songs, they only have to pay 5 cents per play. Some new songs, they got to pay 50 cents per play.
Yeah.
Or 75 cents. Literally, these artists are getting paid per play, and so it's cheaper to play fucking Dio and Quiet Riot from 1983 at 2.5 cents a spin versus the
we're
most.
We're not going
to
take it.
Yeah.
I'm not fully sure that the artists per se, I mean, some of them, sure, but I think it's the fucking.
The record companies.
The record companies. Yeah. Because the artists these days, I mean, you've probably heard a lot about it. They don't get the fucking money that they used to get. You know, all with all the music going online and streaming and stuff like that and the digital platforms, all that fucking money goes towards the fucking to the record labels.
If you're dumb enough in
2024, money off of merchandising yeah. anyway.
Well, if you're right. dumb so, enough in 2024 to sign a record deal, but
right.
if you're smart enough
exactly.
to be a Chris Webby or a Tom McDonald and say fuck you, if I don't sign a record deal, I make that right. full 99 cent per song per download on iTunes. If I sign a record
exactly.
deal. You get 99 cents of that, and I get fucking one penny of that. So that's why
exactly.
people like Tom McDonald, they don't sign record deals. And to your point, that's why people who were dumb enough to sign record deals have T-shirt and whiskey lines because
well, and,
that's
and
where the
also,
money's at.
And also why they tore themselves to death because that's where they make their money. Well, number one, they're obligated because their fucking record label tells them that they had to. Mm-hmm. It was part of their contract. Also, they signed a fucking 3-album contract during their tenure at that record label. So they go out and they fucking tore the shit out of everything. And that's why they fucking do all these sales and all this shit. Because that's where their money comes from is all their fucking – all their merch sales and shit like that.
Same with independent yeah. film. Adam Carolla made a movie called The Hammer. It's a boxing yeah. movie. Really good. Comedy. It was actually a love rom-com. It was a Miramax film. He put it out. Didn't do great in the theaters, but sold a lot of DVDs, and it's streaming here and there.
Sure.
Other than the original advance, they never paid him a nickel because movie companies do the same thing record companies do. Oh, we gave you an advance, and you got to cover that advance plus distribution, marketing. And he said, whenever you ask for an audit, it's always, oh, we're still working. He said, Miramax never, A, I don't own rights to the fucking movie, so I couldn't put it out on YouTube or Netflix and make money off of it now if I wanted to. And yeah. two, outside of the advance, they always claim because of marketing and distribution and all this other cost. So the music industry and the film industry were both the same way. You know, you get these artists, like Mike was saying, you got a 3-record deal. They gave you an advance, and then... You sold the shit. They sold the shit out. That album blew up,
mm-hmm.
but they're saying, "Hey, slow down. You know, we're still recouping the advance. plus the money we spent on marketing, recording time, distribution, and just so happens, unless you Michael Jackson blow up or Beatles blow up or Linkin Park blow up, you know, unless you're moving hundreds and hundreds of millions of fucking albums, you're never going to quote unquote meet that advance.
Yeah, I think corporate contracts for the music and as you were saying, even the movie industry are probably evolving and changing now.
Yeah, because everybody's self-publishing.
Right, because nobody wants to fucking sign a record deal. Nobody wants to work for a production house or anything like that. They're doing everything themselves. They're producing it and putting it on their own fucking platforms and putting it on YouTube because they realize they can make more fucking money on YouTube than they can through these fucking billion-dollar companies.
Authors.
It's sad and mind-blowing.
I talk to a lot of authors, and I've actually – remember I said earlier I was born for greatness but destined to mediocrity? I've had one co-host on the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast leave because he's currently finishing a book and has to go on a world tour, and the second host has just published his second book. So What's the Scuttlebutt is really good at fostering and getting talented people shit out there. Meanwhile, I'm still here. But my point is, even in the and plus all the authors we interview,
you're still here with us bums.
it's the same way with authors. You know, these publishing companies, they give you an advance now. Because everybody's doing shit digitally and very few people buy paper books, sadly, that advance have gotten so goddamn small, you can't make a living as a full-time author unless you're Stephen King or someone who's putting out four or five books a year. And then, you know, you're getting paid to do, you know, lectures and shit. Like, if you're just a, hey, I'm going to put out a book a year.
Yeah.
Unless it's a New York Times bestseller and you have other gigs, those the advances on these books are like, $5,000-$8,000.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, even so, the music industry for up and comers, the publishing companies for up and comers, and the movie, it's just everything's changed so much. And that's why a lot of these people don't even do it anymore, right? They're just, I'll just self publish.
Well, and think about that even. I mean, you know, as an artist or an author or, you know, the movie industry or something like that, even if you managed to strike up a deal that said, okay, I want 5% of, you know, whatever this product makes. And if they had any inkling that they were going to go with that and you signed a contract with them, if that makes $1 million, that artist or whatever only made $50,000. That's their product.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, like these bands and stuff like that. Like they came together and made that. Not the fucking industry, not the fucking, the label.
Are you willing to sell your soul for your art?
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's what it comes down to.
A lot of bands do is, you know, and we all still have the old school mentality, sure. You know, like Don's talking about, you know, anybody with a camera and, you know, a little bit of production
knowledge,
you know, can put something together. I mean, there's a perfect example. I ran across this, this thing on YouTube. It's called the Middle-Aged Dad Band.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And all they do is covers. And it's like a bunch of people our age, Don, you know, in their garage or a studio designed to look like a garage, whatever. But all they do is record covers of songs. And, you know, it would never in a million years make it as a, you know, you're never going to go on tour as the Middle-Aged Dad Band.
Sure.
But they're probably making money off of YouTube. Oh, so anybody.
Absolutely.
Not if they're doing covers. Yes. Yes, if they're doing covers, because the aforementioned talk about recording it, what I learned from listening to Adam Carolla, because he uses Mighty Mighty Boston's as his theme song, but the version of the song he uses is not the album version, because technically the licenses is on the recording and not the song. And so if you know a Dickie from the Mighty Mighty Boston's, he's your personal friend and you want to use this song, you don't use the album version. You have him record a second version and that's not covered by the copyright. Wu-Tang Clan will never happen again, right? If you go back and listen to Wu-Tang Clan, Yeah. Everything from their music to the voice clips, everything was lifted and sampled from other people's work. You couldn't do that now with computers because your shit would get fucking... If I put up a video on YouTube and I have 23 seconds of a song, they don't demonetize you. They split the monetization where out of the $15 I make, Zach Bryan gets $8. So now they split the monetization. Yeah. So if you're like a...
could you imagine... The Beastie Boys trying to do what they did on their first couple albums today.
Mm-hmm.
Led Zeppelin, they knew that they were getting ripped off. But they're like, hey, it's going to put our music in front of a whole different, a whole different group of people.
And that's
So, whatever.
With stuff like that, though... these new artists and stuff like that, I don't know how much of, newer music that you guys listen to, but...
He just called us old.
I'm not trying to call you old, but...
That's right. He's older than Dan Connor.
Because, listen now, I fucking hate today's music. I really do. I mean, there's a handful of songs that I might actually listen to, but other than that, most of what's on the Billboard right now, I can't stand. Some of the newer country stuff and I still like...
Oh, that ain't country.
Did you see my post today? Did you see my post today, Mike?
No.
Twisted posted a picture of them and the skinny jelly roll.
Yeah.
I said, that's the last time we'll see him with you guys ever fucking again. That dude is not... He's going to hi-hat everybody. I ain't seen a single photo of him with fucking Struggle Jennings since he made it big. He'll never be seen in another picture with fucking Jamie Madrox, Monoxide Child.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was just watching an interview with him on Knotfest, and it was a podcast or something like that, and it was a little clip, and he was like, so, who are some of your biggest influences, and who would you say are, some of the best that are doing it right now? And he actually said, Twisted, ICP,
Tech N9ne.
And all these other, artists and stuff like
that. Nice.
Like, he was like, I know we're on Knotfest right now, but even Corey Taylor and, all the multifaceted, music that he puts out and stuff like that, too. So,
well, he's kind of stuck because his album cover of him and Lil White was a direct copy of Twisted's Freak Show.
No Filter, yeah.
It was the exact same, the album cover with the face split. That is
good. They were on it.
I know, but if you Google Twisted Freak Show, it's the same exact cover.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
No Filter and No Filter 2 was like that.
So Carrie and I have these conversations because sometimes she watches these TikTokers who claim they're making their living off of TikTok, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, Carrie, they're not. Yes, they are. Carrie, I had a video that got 1.7 million views. It was the UPS driver versus the dude with the dog locked in his car. I made $69 on 1.7 million views. Let's say you make $45,000 a year. I just did this on my calculator on my computer because I can't do that math in my head. $45,000 divided by 69 is $3,105,000. You can divide 69 bucks out of 45 grand a year. It's 3,105 times, right? Essentially, you would need 3,105,000 videos to get $1.5 million of 1.5 million views a year to quit your $45,000 a year job if you're getting paid $69 per fucking video that hits 1.5 million. Tell me that this person has 12 million views and they're quitting. No, they're not quitting their job at 12 million views.
It's not 12 videos at
a million views.
It's not the views and it's not the likes. Yes, they're making a small portion of money off of those, especially like the large creators like Bella Porch and fucking Charli D'Amelio and all those fucking ones that came up with it. But it's the sponsorships and it's them going out and doing deals and saying, I'm part of fucking, fucklicklick.com, go check it out. You know what I mean? And they get $5,000 for doing that promo. And it takes them fucking, an hour to cut a fucking promo and do a video and edit it.
I think we just figured out what Mike's going to leave the podcast for. his new venture at fuckfucklicklick.com.
Oh, yeah.
Scott totally. D. Hendry, who follows me, by the way, has 3.2 million.
Name dropper.
Scott D. Hendry. He has 3.2 million viewers on TikTok alone. He won season 3 of the TV series. I forget. It's the one where you're like construction people. I forget what the fuck it's called. It was on CBS.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
He won Tough as Nails season 2.
Yeah.
So the guy has 3 million subscribers on TikTok. He won season 2 of Tough as Nails. He has a million on Instagram. He has a couple million on YouTube. That motherfucker still goes up and goes to work building houses every day.
But see, but for somebody like that,
you mean a guy with a cock who isn't trans? Yeah, I know. We still have to work. If you have tits and an ass, or you're a transsexual who puts on makeup all day, yeah, then you can make money off of TikTok. Right. But if you're straight and you have a cock, no, you still got to go to work. That's how it works.
Well, oh, that's my problem.
I don't want to sound like old straight white guy, but I never thought I'd go be, see. I never thought I'd see the day when I go to Target and there's dudes in the makeup ads. I got a daughter and a wife. We walk through the makeup aisle in Target, and they actually have dudes' faces above the Revlon with the lipstick and shit now. Just saying. Kerry Watch is this big-time influencer. He's a fucking dude. He has his own makeup line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this world coming to?
By the way, if you'd like to buy a knit hat, what's a scuttlebutt on it, head over to WTSBWorldWar2.com. I'm going to try to get some What's in Your Head. Problem with the What's in Your Head logo is it's kind of it's tall and not long. And so when I tried to make the What's in Your Head version, the logo looks like a little stamp. It doesn't read quite as well. So I think I need to recreate the What's in Your Head logo so it's longer and not tall, so that you can actually put it on things and it's readable.
I was going to say, you need to make a few different designs of it so you can put it on different kinds of shit.
Hypothetically, the idea of a logo is that it always stays the same, so it's recognizable. So
But your logo is what the logo is what the podcast is called. You can elongate it.
Yeah. I definitely need it, because obviously if I put it on there, it's literally like a postage stamp. Yeah, so if you want to help, keep me out of jail for using someone's photo on my website, go buy some knit hats or watch my YouTube videos or sign up for Patreon.
Hey, 2,000 subscribers.
Hey, that's something. You know, you laugh, but
milestone.
I watch people that are far more fucking talented than I am, especially like in the fitness. Like, I'm watching like CrossFitters and shit.
Yeah.
Like people like you are traveling around and using high-end cameras and putting out videos like 3 times a week, and these guys are scraping together 500 followers. It's 2,000 followers on YouTube is saying something. Which, by the way, asshole, you're this guy's got a 2-hour video with 4 minutes. How many fucking how many subscribers does that guy got?
I have no fucking clue.
I guarantee he probably has like 10 million.
No, I don't know, because I've never really heard of him before.
Because it's an algorithm thing, too, right? It's like, I think the number's like 0.2% of your subscribers see your videos unsolicited.
Yeah, but...
Which, for example, my TikTok, I got 17... Actually, I'm at 16,999, but it still says I'm on 17,000. My average view is 230 out of 17,000 subscribers, unless I do a turkey video, then it gets 100,000 videos.
But so then do the conversion.
On what platform?
My TikTok. I have 17,000 subscribers. My deep fried turkey video got 130,000 views. My YouTube page, I got 2,000.
That was a good one.
On my YouTube page, I just hit 2,030 subscribers. Thank you much. I got another 30 subscribers in the last 2 days. It's at 53,000, but more importantly, as you guys saw the thumbnails, I'm not making the numbers up. My shorts in like 5 hours get 500 views. My long format videos, you know, get like 50 in 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's clearly they're clearly pushing the algorithm. And plus, I could take screenshots of the YouTube Studio dashboard. All the tips and tricks are all, because as a creator, you have a dashboard and they have like trends and things and suggestions. It's all focused on shorts right now. But yeah.
Well, it's because of short attention span people like me that,
no,
you know, anything more than like I love to watch, you know, car shows. And so, you know, while it's still available, I'm going to continue to watch, you know, the Motor Trend Network. And those shows without commercials are absolutely perfect because they're 22 minutes long. And, you know, that's just about as long as I can handle before I get bored.
You know, that used to be my thing when I worked in radio as a radio show producer. I'm like, dude, you know how easy it is to produce a TV show, especially a show on Discovery Channel? Here it is. Ready? 10 minutes, go to commercial. Maybe 15 minutes, go to commercial. Come back. The first 3 minutes is the last 3 minutes of the previous break. So you go to commercial, you come back, you show the last 3 to 4 minutes of the previous break, and then you only got to come with 10 minutes of new content.
Yep.
And then you get, or 12 minutes of new content versus radio, you know, once you take out the commercials, it's at least 25 minutes of fresh content. Could you imagine if Stan Haney came back and did the exact same 3 minutes that they did before they went to commercial, before they started the next break? People are like, what the fuck?
You need a refresher.
That's how they do it on Discovery Channel, and you watch those shows.
Yeah.
Real quick, because we're already getting up there. You know, I know it's, you guys are going to be turning to pumpkins here soon. We like.
Well, now I'm an hour behind you, so I can
Mike's
go,
still going to turn to a pumpkin. So every year they put out the new words of the year, right? Words that we're not going to talk about the famous
That's
words.
A thing.
Yeah, they've been on it for years, and like I'm not going to talk about the most searched word, which is fucking demure. We're not going to talk about that dumb shit.
Jesus, I'm the youngest fucking person on this podcast, and you guys know more about fucking pop culture than I do.
Well, we've been around a lot longer, dick fuck. So every year they add new words to the dictionary that gets created, right? So we don't have time to go through them, what the definitions are, but here are the words of the year, the new phrases that's been added to the Webster Dictionary.
Oh my gosh.
Can we guess the definition?
Sure.
Okay.
We all know this one, bed rotting. It's a noun.
Laying around all day?
I'm going to show my age here. Got no clue.
The practice of spending many hours in bed during the day, often with snacks or electronic devices, a voluntary retreat from activities or stress. Bed rotting.
Okay, I said laying in bed all day.
Girl dinner.
Okay.
What was that?
Girl
what?
Dinner.
Girl dinner.
We've heard of girl math, right?
Yes.
Girl math is, well, if I'm going out shopping and it's on sale, then I'm saving money.
Right.
Girl dinner.
If you get a guy to pay for your food, it's free.
Close, but no.
That's kind of where I was going with it.
Often, an attractively presented collection of snacks that involve little preparation, such as small quantities of cold cuts, cheese, fruits, cherry tomatoes, etc. I.e., bitches don't want to cook no more. Chicks are too lazy to cook anymore, so they eat fucking lunch meat and tomatoes, and they can't say they're poor or lazy. They got to call it girl dinner. But anyhow, I'm going
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving spread.
Yeah. So you got mid, adjective, mediocre, unimpressive, disappointing, bussin'.
Totally bussin'.
Adjective, great, wonderful, amazing. The ick.
Okay.
Pretty privilege.
I know the ick. My wife says the ick.
Yeah. Pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege.
Oh, I know all about that.
What is it, Morgan?
I live that every day.
You got pretty privilege.
I have pretty privilege.
Barbie ochre.
So like,
it's
glamorous, but average.
It's a noun. It's an aesthetic or stylish feature, playful in pink outfits because of the Barbie movie. Slow fashion, cozy, greedflation, climate breakdown, global boiling, extreme heat event, food insecurities, and bag holder. These are the words that we came up with in 2024. Fun fact, Webster Marion Dictionary has the time machine. Just because I graduated in 1997, and most people look at their high school years as the best time in their life, or maybe their college years.
Are we going into the Wayback Machine here for a minute?
So we just read the list of new words from 2024, such as girl dinner and bed rotting. Here are the words that we had to invent in 1997. It's going to take me a little longer because they don't have the definitions on the same page. I got to open the link. AAC.
AAC?
A high quality standardized computer file format for loss, compression, and storage of digital audio. Definitely smarter than bed rotting. Air rage.
Air rage?
Air rage.
Nope.
An airline passenger's uncontrolled anger that usually expresses an aggressive or violent behavior. So in the 90s, that's when people started flipping the fuck out on airlines. That was before 9/11. Mm. Amber Alert. Okay. Andro. Think about it.
Probably like androgynous, no asexual kind of thing.
Male. Mm. Male human being. Yep.
Okay.
Auto-tune. Bio-identical.
I'm assuming that's when Cher's song came out.
Cube Farm, Deep State, Dotcommer, Dumb Phone, Elliptical Trainer, Emoji. Emoji's kind of dumb.
Emoji came out in 1997?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to break your old hearts, young kids, with your... The original emojis is when you did like a comma with a fucking to make a smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we
called them emoticons.
Parenthesis with a colon. Yeah.
No, we called them emoticons.
Emoji was the word emoji was entered into Webster Dictionary in 1997.
Really? We didn't call them that back then. At least I didn't.
Bunch of a big word I can't pronounce. Evo Devo.
Evo Devo.
Evolutionary deployment of biology. Evolutionary deployment biology. Advances in a new science of evolutionary deployment biology, dubbed Evo Devo for short, has enabled biologists to see beyond the extraordinary beauty of organic forms into the mechanism that shapes their diversity.
Wow.
With the Freegan.
Freegan. Something that has to do with Ronald Reagan?
An activist who scavenges for free food. Dumpster diver.
Okay.
Judgy. Let's see. M-commerce. Money tree. Mystical topaz. Nerdle. What the hell's nerdle?
Did you use some of these words?
Not nerdle. A plastic pellet that usually is less than 0.2 inches in diameter or length, that is a raw material which forms plastic and manufactures common pollutant in global water.
Okay, so, I know what they're talking about.
Nobody knows what a fucking nurdle is.
But my point is, if you compare the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the 25 new words in 1997 to the 8 in 2024, most of the new words are basically either abbreviated or new words for kind of just pop culture bullshit versus technology.
Well, but, I mean, you look back to the 80s and 90s when I came up.
Oh, we can do this. We can do this in like pick a year. Gnarly. No, I can pick a year. There's a drop down menu, you motherfucker.
Oh,
1990.
It goes from the 12th century all the way up to 2022.
So, ooh,
1990.
On Merriam-Webster's website?
Yeah, it's called the Merriam-Webster/time traveler. Ooh, time-traveler.
You love to see it, folks.
1990?
Yeah.
Is that the year you graduated?
Yeah.
Or is that the year you got married?
No, I got married in 1993.
Oh, the year the guy from the fucking CEO got shot, graduated high school.
Mm.
Yeah.
1990. Holy shit, there's a lot of new words. Wow, this one surprises me because this one didn't come to our lexicon until recently. The second to last on the list, two-form authentication. The fact that that's been around since 1990 blows my mind.
Two-form authentication.
Well, we were,
you know what that is?
We were innovative.
That's that annoying shit when you log into Gmail for the first time. You gotta,
Yeah, and you gotta fucking send a message to your phone and fucking put in a stupid code and all that silly shit. Yeah.
Asian longhorn beetle apparently was discovered in 1990.
What?
The Asian longhorned beetle. Big box. Black hat.
Big box.
Body con. Ooh. Brain attack. C.diff. Chemtrail. Chiron. clapback. I thought clapback was a kind of a new slang too. Cox, capital COX. I'm guessing that's going to be the communication companies. I guess we can click on it and find out. Open new tab. Do yourself a favor. Going to use the Webster Dictionary time machine. Do right click new tab. Otherwise, you're going to have to keep hitting the back button. Cox, coxswain. Never mind.
Huh. Coxswain.
But that's like World War II shit. Why would that be added in the 90s? Well, see,
it's interesting because there are words that even today are said
that aren't technically in the dictionary.
Well, no, you would think, wow, that's like new slang or something like that. I think we talked about this once before.
Yeah,
we talked about my grandma talking about packing a gat. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. You wouldn't think that it was slang term that was, you know, innovated 80 years ago.
Cyberculture.
Yeah, exactly.
Cyberculture.
Cyberculture.
Yep. Effed. E-F-F-E-D. The
F.
That's how you, instead of saying you're fucked, that's how you'd write it in publication or say it on TV. You're effed.
You're effed, yeah.
Fam. Geek really? Out.
What's up, fam?
What up, fam?
Well, technically, this is the thesaurus. So
the thesaurus.
The thesaurus. Gift card. I guess they finally had to put that compound word in the dictionary. Green collar. Gift cards
have been around for that long?
Gift cards, yeah, since the 90s.
Really?
They've probably been around since the 80s, but they were so heavily used by 1990.
They were McDonald's gift certificates back in the 80s.
I was going to say, wasn't it like an actual piece of paper back in the day?
Hoodie. We went from hooded sweatshirts to hoodie. Well,
back in Morgan's time, it would have been a stone tablet, but, you know.
Yeah, we went from hooded sweatshirts to hoodie. I was talking about right-clicking, left-click, malware. McMansion. Microplastics. Mixed martial arts. You all right? You going to leave a puddle in your pajamas over there, fella? Props. Queer studies. Shout out. Soundbar. Spam. Stick blender. That spam is in the phrase used for unwanted email. You know why they call it spam?
Because nobody wants it, just like they didn't want spam.
But why would
you mentioned it before?
Why would they call it spam?
Oh, I don't remember. I think we talked about it once before.
Because back in the day, if you go back and watch Revenge of the Nerds, only fucking dorks used computers. Computer programmers were nerds. And nerds liked what? American nerds liked what in the 80s, Morgan?
Spam.
British humor. They loved themselves some Monty Python and the Flying Circus. And so there's an entire episode of Monty Python and the Flying Circus. Whereas Morgan just mentioned, I don't like spam. I don't like spam.
Morning. Morning. What you got then?
Spam, eggs and spam.
Egg, sausage and bacon. Egg and spam. Egg, bacon and spam.
Spam.
Egg, bacon, sausage and spam. Spam, bacon, sausage and spam. Spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam. Spam, 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 egg and spam. Spam, 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 baked beans, spam, 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 and spam. Oh, lobster thermidor, crevettes with a mayonnaise sauce, garnished with truffle pate brandy, and a fried egg on top, and spam. Have you got anything without spam in it? Well, spam, egg, sausage, and spam. It's not got much spam in it. I don't want any spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, spam, and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage, and spam.
Look, could I have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam? Yeah. What do you mean? I don't like spam.
So that is why email is called unwanted email is called spam, because a bunch of computer nerds probably just saw that episode of fucking Monty Python. Here's a fun fact. Monty Python spam episode. Air date. 1970.
Well, that had to be like 1975.
1970.
Wow. Okay.
1970. 1945. A short 25 years since World War II. Keep in mind, the United Kingdom had the ever-living shit bombed out of it during World War II by the fucking Nazis. Half the people in this cast are probably in their 30s, which means that 25 years prior, they're probably being fed a lot of fucking spam by their mom, who were getting spam and fucking care packages from the allies. So yeah, half the people on that cast probably were fucking had it up their asshole in spam. Henceforth, them making that bit.
Yeah, probably.
Because these aren't Hawaiians. If this was a Hawaiian fucking sketch comedy show, it's I love spam. But yeah, so yep. So that's the '90s versus 2025. McMansion. Walk off.
1970.
Here's the largest word added, I think, ever. This is a single word. It's a triple word score, but it's considered a single phrase in the thesaurus for the Merriam-Webster Dictionary in 1990. Transmissible sponge formed in colopia. ENCEPHALOPATHY. Can you use that in a sentence? No, motherfucker, I can't even say it. And on that note, on behalf of myself, Morgan, and Mike, we will talk to you all next week. Thank you guys so much. By the way, I think next year we're 6 years into this insanity. So thank you for those of you who's been around since the beginning. Morgan used to be around from the beginning. Now he's on the show. But thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you all next week. I don't like spam!
This has been a Digital 410 production.